What's your greatest fear? And take a moment and just think about what is your greatest fear. And for some of us, that fear has been realized. And tonight is a reminder that in the midst of that fear, there's hope. What's the nightmare of your life? I mean, that one event that comes to you late at night, you don't know where it came from, you don't know why, but there it is. And it comes, chill bumps come. That one nightmarish event in your life that still, when you think about it, tears well up in your eyes. Well, tonight, into that darkness, light will shine. For Peter, that fear and that nightmare had to be the memory of tonight. It's Peter's night of failure. It's Peter's night of denial. And we all fail. We all have failed. But no one wants to fail when it really counts. I mean, no one wants to bomb a test, but really don't bomb the SATs. No one wants to botch a sales call, but don't botch the sales call with your biggest customer. No one wants to mess up a relationship, but heaven forbid you mess up that relationship with your spouse. No one wants to fail on any arena, and even fail with raising our children. Peter's failure is magnified. And it's magnified because of the stage on which he failed. When it counted the most, he couldn't be counted on. I mean, on that night, that beautiful, scandalous night that Jesus knew was coming, he knew what was coming, he knew what he was about to go through. He took Peter because Peter was always one of the three he took. I mean, he took him into the darkness, into the garden, and he drew Peter and two others away. And he said, "Peter, just pray. Just watch with me, Peter. I'm in anguish. I'm tormented. Peter, will you watch with me?" Oh, it doesn't seem to be an incredible charge. It seems to be quite easy. Just stay awake, Peter. Just pray. But he failed repeatedly. Peter was told he would deny, even that night of that last meal. Jesus told him point blank, "And you're going to run. You're going to deny me. You're going to act like you never knew me." And it was Peter, and with all of his pride and with all of his love for his Savior welling up with him. And he says, "No," he defiantly says, "No, I'm not going to deny you. I mean, it may cost me my life, but I'm there. I'm with you. I have your side. If you go down, I go down. I'm not going to let you go." Jesus knew better, and Peter did fail again. And again. And again. You know, the worst kind of failure is the failure that we experience that affects the lives of others, especially the lives of others that are innocent. It's that failure when our failure puts another's reputation in jeopardy. It's our failure that puts another one's job on the line. It's that failure that really is painful when it alters another's life. It's that failure that maybe even takes another's life, like a drunk driver taking the life of one who is innocent. Peter's failure in a real degree caused Jesus to be mocked. Peter's failure, in a real degree, caused Jesus to be scourged. Peter's failure, in a real way, caused Jesus to be crucified. And he was a first-hand witness to his failure. He saw the results. Jesus' blood is on his hands. The joy that Peter must have experienced when he realized that through the Holy Spirit, that what was taking place was a fulfillment of Scripture, that Isaiah 53 and the suffering servant was being fulfilled on that night. What joy! I can't help but think that had to become one of Peter's most favorite verses in Scripture. When he realized in the darkness of that night, light was shining. When Peter fully realized what was happening to his and Jesus' greatest night of darkness, would provide light. The worst day of Peter's life became the best day of his life for all eternity. Peter's greatest fear became his greatest peace. Peter's nightmare, it turned into his dream of salvation. The picture that Peter could not get out of his mind, and the failure that led to that picture of a Roman cross, Peter knowing that his failure led to that execution, that picture, that gruesome bloody cross, that picture that he couldn't get out of his mind. You know that picture that you sometimes can't get out of your mind? You know that one that you pray to God, I don't want to picture it anymore. I don't want to be released from it. I don't want to have it anymore. That picture was forever etched in Peter's mind. Became the picture of redemption. It became the picture, the Scripture being fulfilled. The cross of Christ must have been the most important symbol to Peter. For here is where Peter found healing. It's where he found mercy. It's where he found life. It's where he found forgiveness of his sins. Here at the cross. And it's here at the cross, the tradition tells us, that Peter would preach his last and most powerful sermon. As Peter himself was crucified upside down on a Roman cross. A picture that you know that Peter could never forget. The picture of the cross is a picture that we shouldn't get out of our minds either. It's a picture that Jesus wanted us to remember. He gave us a meal. And he says, when you come to this meal and you feed upon me spiritually, remember the picture. Remember the agony. Remember the blood. Remember the sacrifice. Never forget. Because it brought healing in life. You know, it's not only Peter's sins that drove Jesus to the cross. It's not only Peter's sins, it's ours. Do you know that? You see, it's our failure. It's our nightmare. It's our sins that drove Jesus to the cross. His blood is on our hands. His blood is on our heads. As the crowd yelled, "Crucify," Pontius Pilate said, "May the blood of Christ be on you." And then the crowd said, "May his blood be on our heads." Sinner, the blood is on us. But the incredible reality of this story is the blood that is on our hands and the blood that covers our heads. The blood that he bathes us in is the blood that makes us clean. It's the blood that makes us whole. It's the blood that washes away our sins. We realize that Isaiah 53 becomes so dear for us because we can say, by the grace of God, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. By His wounds we're healed. The Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on Him. My brothers and sisters, our fears have been crucified. Our nightmare is over. Jesus has paid the price. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for His love that would never die, even to the point of being nailed to a cross. His love for You and His love for us never died, although His life was given so that we, sinners, with His blood on our hands, may be washed clean and set free. Father, thanks for Peter. And thank You that on the night that his greatest fears were realized, that he was a coward, that the nightmare came true, that he was a betrayer, he was a denier, that beautiful, scandalous night, he was set free. That he could look upon the cross and not remember the agony of all of his sins that drove You there, Jesus. But he could look at that cross and realize he was free. And by the wounds of Jesus, he has been healed. And so have we. We thank You for that amazing love. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen.